Hello and welcome. Thanks again for joining us today. This is your host, Brother T, for another episode of The Best Hour here on blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. Yes, we're focused on the Course in Miracles, and today we're going to be talking about lesson 248, and I'm joined here with my beautiful wife, Rev Renee, and we're going to be discussing whatever suffers is not part of me. Before we begin the lesson, let's join together for a moment of silence. Take a good deep breath. Whatever suffers is not part of me. I have disowned the truth. Now let me be as faithful in disowning falsity. Whatever suffers is not part of me. What grieves is not myself. What is in pain is but illusion in my mind. What dies was never living in reality and did not mock the truth about myself. Now I disown self-concepts and deceits and lies about the Holy Son of God. Now am I ready to accept Him back as God created Him and as He is.
Father, my ancient love for you returns and lets me love your Son again as well. Father, Mother, I am as you created me. Now is your love remembered and my own. Now do I understand that they are one. Whatever suffers is not part of me.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Let's join together for another moment of silence. Well, this lesson really pushes our buttons, doesn't it? To imagine that we can go through the day-to-day without recognizing any suffering anywhere, or to give it no value, to give it no concern. We grieve because we think we've lost things and people in our lives. And this lesson is telling us, here's Jesus telling us, what dies was never living in reality and did not mock the truth about myself. What grieves is not myself.
Did but mock.
What dies was never living in reality and did but mock. And did, so we can change the word but to only, thank you, to say did only mock the truth about myself. You cannot die. Today we would remember ourselves as God created us to be, which is what? Not what we've made God to be in our image, but what God created us to be in her image, right? Which would be spirit, mind, love. And we don't really need to add other attributes. In fact, love has no attributes. What? See, that doesn't make sense, because the problem is we can't make sense of it. The little bit of intelligence, the sliver of intelligence that we've separated away from the self of knowing, the true self, capital S self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, my right mind, is the mind of knowing. It's not learning, and it's not trying to understand. It's the mind of capital K, knowing. That is what you are. And it's not confused or misled by our dreaming mind. Are you misled by the dreams you have at night? Do you wake up and think, oh, I've got to get back in there tonight and fix that? No, you know that it's a dream. We don't yet, though. Not completely. It doesn't seem like. The experience we're having right now is a dream. But that's the best metaphor, that's the best approximation that we can use for this, what we call lived experience in form. But we can begin to transcend that thinking mind, that separated small egoic self. We can begin to transcend its thoughts, not by shutting it out, disowning it, or hating it, or trying to kill it, but by embracing it, but putting it in its proper place, in the background. The only thing that the thinking mind cannot defend itself against is being ignored. And we can indeed do that. We can ignore the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of the world, the thoughts that say that something could be lost, that death is real, that sin is real, that sickness is real. This lesson is really pointing us back to the truth that we are none of those things, and none of those things are possible to be experienced in reality. At the very beginning of A Course in Miracles, Jesus shares with us that what is real is eternal. What is unreal doesn't exist. Therein lies the peace of God. This is a course of mind training. This is a course requiring us to be willing to accept a new way of being. Not thinking ourselves into a new way of being, but to allow ourselves to be joined in union and relationship with the mind that knows the truth. And then through that connection, through that joining and that melding of consciousness, we become informed and we begin to experience truth, reality, our higher self. Whatever suffers is not part of me.
I think this is such a game changer. I think this is a game changer. It totally obliterates the concept and idea or value that we may place upon the concept of suffering. And we may say to ourselves, oh, well, we don't really believe in suffering, but we have been mired in a teaching and a culture that glorified the suffering of Jesus, that God would require his beloved son to suffer and die on the cross for the sins of everyone. And so there has been virtue embedded in the concept of suffering throughout the ages, and we've evolved to the point where we don't overtly think that, but it is subtly, I believe, still a part of our archetype, if you will, you know, the martyr as an archetype, or that when we give something, we are, and in our sometimes the way we think of our charitable contributions as, you know, a loss to ourselves, and, you know, placing ourselves on a pedestal for we must work hard and long hours, you know, all the ways that we believe that quote-unquote suffering pays off and somehow qualifies us for good or to receive good or to receive salvation or to receive a paycheck, you know. And so I just think that this is kind of a game-changer idea in our Judeo-Christian culture that many of us were raised in, that suffering is not a part of us. It's not God-ordained. It's not expected. No sacrifice is required. And the gift is already given. And the very first sentence that says, I have disowned the truth. Now let me be faithful to in disowning falsity. So to be as allegiant to truth as we have been to disowning it, and to do this is can sometimes seem that we lack compassion. So, you know, what grieves is not of myself. What is in pain is but illusion in my mind. What dies was never living in reality, but did but mock the truth about myself. I have disowned these self-concepts and deceits and lies about the Holy Son of God, about myself. And now I'm ready to accept the truth. And that truth is that, you know, that loss is not possible, that separation was never possible, that harm of yourself or of another is truly not possible, because as we are created as changeless, eternal, sinless, perfect souls and beings that happen to have come into form by our own choosing in body. And so what is birthed in time certainly ends in time. And as having a human experience, sure, we grieve those things. Sure, we grieve that. But the grieving is a process of releasing, so that we can remember and return to that truth that we cannot truly experience loss, that we do not ever, you know, in truth lose another individual, lose a relationship, lose anything that is of value to us in truth. And so this is really a wonderful lesson. I think of, you know, whatever suffers is not part of me. I think of how the body repels that which and expels that which is not a part of it. Like when we get a sliver, eventually the body will eject it from us. And that's what, you know, we're consciously doing right now with this lesson. Anything you want to add to that?
Yes, but at the risk of being canceled. How does this narrative, how does this truth fit in with the, you know, here we are in September of 2020 and cities are burning in our country. And there are people who are claiming that they have been harmed or their ancestors have been harmed, and that, you know, social justice is required, and retribution, and, you know, balancing of you know, there's communities, spiritual communities, that are, in my opinion, you know, calling people to task for their thinking. And I think it's insane. In the light of truth, it can't hold up. In the light of truth, it has no basis of value other than to bind us to more grieving, to more pain, to more suffering, to more insanity. And we can get in the battlefield and duke it out, which is exactly what's happening in the cities across our country. People are fighting against each other, creating a battlefield in the streets that used to be peaceful, and people were loving and caring and embracing of each other. And now they're lining up on different sides of the street against each other. Whatever suffers is not a part of me. If I'm going to stand up and claim that I'm suffering, I'm lying to myself and I'm holding other people accountable for my illusion. I'm trying to get something outside of me, something separate from me, to heal some idea that I have, and it's just an idea. It's an idea of separation. It's an idea of suffering. And it's being honored rather than being called out for what it is. It's a lie. Fear is a liar. The past is not the present unless we bring it to the present. And when we do that, we relive it, we re-energize it, we recreate illusion, and we continue to be distracted, and we dishonor our brothers and sisters, and we absolutely dishonor ourselves participating in this insanity. Whatever suffers is not a part of me. We're being called here, and that's why the Course in Miracles says you have, you know, it's up to you. It's a required course. Everyone will eventually have to come to truth, have to deal with their own thinking. Everyone will. But you don't have to do it today. You have free will, and it's up to you when you decide to take this course. This course is not, I'm talking about A Course in Miracles. I'm talking about the curriculum, the narrative, the awakening of a mind to the truth of who and what we are. And at the risk of, again, causing some people to be unsettled and uncomfortable with this conversation, that's one of the reasons we often say that, you know, spiritual journey at first brush looks like, oh, everybody's happy and loving and more careful and caring and whatever, but this is a difficult journey that we're undertaking here because we have to literally look at the darker corners of our own minds and bring the light to it. We cannot do it by ourselves, and our best thinking will not take us out of it. We have to begin to allow ourselves to join in union and relationship with our true self at the very center of our being, our mind, and ask to be informed by love itself. What is the truth? Whatever suffers is not a part of me. Father, my ancient love for you returns and lets me love your son again as well. When I allow myself to let go of my thinking mind and my commitment to false beliefs.
I knew I was supposed to ask you what you thought. So, just to add my perception, which is limited to this conversation, is that I view what you describe as what's happening in our world right now as a purging. And as a revealing, it's truly has the opportunity to serve each one of us as we watch this unfold, as we perhaps participate in it to the degree that we do, that we have this opportunity to see the insanity of a world built upon an insane thought system. And so I consider it incredible, though difficult, feedback for us as individuals, for us as a collective, to see visibly, outwardly, what the effect of an insane thought system, of faults, a world built upon, so we're in the section about what is the world, a world built upon false perception. And so the players and the individuals who are acting this out are innocent because they are acting out a thought system that we have actually collectively made and collectively allowed to be the foundation of the structures that we've built. And so the structures that we have built based upon the thought system that is in error is collapsing and crumbling. And because of our misidentification with these structures as our source of safety, that people are afraid, reacting, and perhaps experiencing suffering. We have an opportunity to take a breath, to step back, to ascend, to rise above this battlefield, and to choose again, and to offer this to spirit, to inquire in the holy instant of what the truth is, because the suffering that we are experiencing, perhaps as a nation, it is not a part of who we truly are. And so the suffering that we see, racism isn't a part of who we truly are. Murder isn't a part of who we truly are. Sickness from coronavirus or from suicide or from depression isn't who we really are. And, rioting and violence isn't who we are. And so this is being shown to us and hopefully purged so that we can together, thought by thought, recreate a thought system where we are as dedicated to truth as we have been dedicated to separation, fear, and otherness. And so let's be faithful in disowning the falsity and seeing that the suffering of poverty is also not part of us, and that collectively we have an opportunity to shift the thought forms and to be at cause, that it's not that there is a systemic program in play regarding poverty, regarding racism, regarding sexism, regarding all of these things. It is a part of our structures, and there is something out of integrity with this. But the being out of integrity isn't attacking the form. It's disowning the false ideas upon which the form was created and made by us. And now we have this opportunity to be as vigilant for the truth. Yeah, I don't see my brother or sister as a victim. I see them as powerful, as God created them, as spirit, as holy and divine, and it's done as they decree, but they may not know it yet. And that part of our role is to meet people where they're at in the suffering that they're experiencing and to love them there and to show the light that, yeah, this isn't the truth. And yeah, we've been out of integrity, but there is another way. And it's not the way of violence. It's the way of enlightenment. I think that it's a great opportunity to teach whatever suffers is not part of us. That we return to the ancient love that we have for God and for one another, and that we see those who are claiming and waving the flag of victimhood right now. Yeah, like compassionately. Yeah, the system sure is messed up, but I still know who you are. I still know what you are. I still know how you serve, and I can help, together we can help rise above the structure that's been developed, and that we can remember that we are one, that we are one. This is how I view it, as like this amazing opportunity right now. And I believe passionately that there's so much good that isn't being broadcast that we see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that there's so many people who are seeing beyond the smoke screen, and that we know that something is amiss in our culture, and that there are good people who are working to have conversations of understanding with one another, so that as we understand, as we love, as we embrace one another, we can then know one another, honor one another, and rise. I do think that there is a place for enlightened social justice. I do believe that there is a place for light workers to be on the scene and to help us to bridge the gap between this ideal and how we function. But in my opinion, in Claudia's opinion, a great dismantling will likely occur, and it will be uncomfortable for a while.
Oh, it's already happening. I mean, yeah. It's happening right now. And I just want to say two things, and I know we've gone long today, so we'll end shortly. But number one, this discussion is not a recrimination of anyone and their behavior. The practice is, the truth is, there's no judgment in spirit. So as we join with spirit will help us to see the truth of what's going on. As our brother Jesus said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." That's not him putting himself above everybody. It's him wanting all of us to wake up and realize what we're doing to ourselves. We never do anything. And we've read a lesson recently. I don't condemn. Who am I harming? The one that's injured from my condemnation is myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This discussion isn't a condemnation of anyone's action or behaviors. You have free will. We have free will. It is what it is. But rather than to argue about what's wrong, let's point to what's right. Let's point to the solution rather than the effect. Because the cause is ignorance and the solution is enlightenment. And we can sit around the campfire and laugh about how silly we were when we were children for what we didn't know and how we acted inappropriately. We wouldn't act that way now. We've grown up. We've become enlightened. And we now know that there's a different way of being. We don't condemn ourselves for being a child and not knowing. I'm using this as a metaphor, but the point is, this is not a discussion of condemnation of anyone of what they're doing. This is a call for awakening. And I think your point about integrity, we absolutely know when we're out of alignment with integrity. We feel it. We have a guidance system and we know it. So I'll leave it there for my part today. Whatever suffers is not part of me. I don't have to be a part of it either. I don't have to go join in the mind of suffering. That's not helping it. That's adding more energy to it. That's perpetuating it. And that doesn't make me a better person. That's a false concept. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. If you stuck around this long, thank you for joining in the conversation. We love you. God bless you so much. We are so grateful for you, so very grateful that you're with us on this journey. Stay the course. We'll be back.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in.